Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 6:50. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Of course, we're following the very the absolutely horrific story and what is happening in Israel at the moment. Bodies of slain hostages brought to Israel after a grotesque Hamas ceremony. That was 503 days since they were abducted live, and we now know that the body of Shiri Bibas has not been returned. We are joined this morning by Rabbi Avidan Friedman. We've spoken with him before. He's an Israeli activist. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hi. Thank God. It was a very, very hard day yesterday, and hard to wake up to the unbelievable news, the shattering final news of Ariel and Kfiri being identified, and of course the horrifying news that the fourth body was not that of Shiri's.
It's almost impossible to process, because no matter how awful the whole situation is, it was made worse by the ceremony, and now the unthinkable has happened. How is it possible that Hamas still has the ability to shock us?
Honestly, I can't really say I'm shocked at it. And I don't even, it's not that even the actions of October 7th were horrifying, but they, I don't even know if I could say that they were shocking. We've known that Hamas is a genocidal organization that's bent on Israel's destruction, and it does everything it can in order to hurt us. So I don't really know, certainly the kind of psychological terror they're doing now is not any lower than they've already gone. Certainly gone as low as human beings should not go anywhere near to going. But it's not surprising. It's terrible. It shows again and again the enemy that we're up against. But on the other hand, I think the Jewish people and the Israeli people again are committed to showing who we are and what we're made of. Yesterday there was an entire nation that was in mourning, that was with bowed heads and with tearful eyes. Because what we are about is our love of life, whether it's a 10-month-old baby or whether it's a 80-plus-year-old peace activist, that's the core of our foundation.
What does peace activism mean today, February the 21st?
Sorry again, I didn't hear.
If I'd asked anybody the question, or many people a question, what is peace activism, 2 years ago, we might get one answer. But today, February the 21st, 2025, if I have to say to you, what does peace activism actually look like? You're involved in the space. This is your... You have been very, very active in the plight of the hostages, all of this type of focus, which is one aspect of it. But is there such a thing as an activist for peace right now? Is it even appropriate?
Well, I think there's one question is about the goal and the direction, another question is about the practice and the politics and the how do you make it how do you do it on the ground. There's no question in my mind what the goal is. I pray for it more than three times a day, countless times in our prayers. The goal of peace is mentioned. How do you do it? Obviously, in our neighborhood is a very, very complicated thing. It's always been a complicated thing. Israel, from the beginning, has had neighbors who have vowed to destroy us. With some of those, some of the most the most avowed enemies, we have succeeded in making peace. Before peace was made with Egypt, Egypt was absolutely one of our worst enemies that tried numerous times to destroy us. And that's a peace that has held for 50 years. So, you know, how do we do it? I don't think we're not going to make peace with Hamas. Hamas is dedicated to our destruction. But at the end of the day, in this small piece of land, there are 7 million Jews. There are 7 million, approximately, more or less, Arabs. And we need to find a way to live together. And I think there are ways. And I think there are ways forward. And actually, there are serious opportunities forward for that, which include a normalization with other Arab countries that have resisted it. And that also include making movements towards the creation of a Palestinian state that will still guarantee safety and security for us. And I think really, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if some thought that that war could be the only solution, an independent solution to our problems, I think after a year and a half of war against a single terror organization, we see that war is something that feeds itself and that can be endless if there is no other political solution that is in mind. Already for a long time, we've been able to end this war and move towards political solutions to our problems.
Well, let me put it, make it very personal, because this is personal for all of us, is until very recently, and I'm not even quite sure the moment to change, or if it even really has, but I believe in Palestinian right to self-determination. I've believed very strongly that there should be a two-state solution, living side by side in peace. After yesterday, and after many of the things that I've seen and that we've all seen over the last 16 months, I'm not sure that I can want it, and it can be an aspiration, and it could be something that I think is the right goal, but I'm not sure I believe that it can happen given what we haven't seen coming out of Gaza. Help me process that.
I think that that's very understandable. I think that's very understandable, and it's critical that we move forward with eyes wide open. We can't close our eyes to the fact that there are forces, very, very strong forces within Palestinian society that are bent on Israel's destruction, and that don't believe in coexistence and that aren't interested in a two-state solution. They're interested in the destruction of the Jewish project, of the Jewish state, and that's been their goal from the get-go. So then the question is, what are you left with? Well, there are those, you know, on the Palestinian side who believe that they will be able to destroy the Jewish state and to run all of us into the sea. And there are those on the Israeli side who believe that the only solution is to get rid of all of the Palestinians or all of the Arabs or as many of them as possible. So there is, you know, there is a certain, I'm certainly not making a moral equivalence as far as methods that have been used equating, but there is an ideological, equivalence of both sides, of one side that says this place will have to be only for Jews because it's a Jewish state, and their, you know, the idea of transferring 2 million people to somewhere else is, it comes up.
Absurd.
And there's the same idea on the other side, on the Arab side, on the Palestinian side. I don't think that either of those ideas are realistic, and I don't think either of them are moral possibilities. So it's left for us to find other things. Now there are other ways to move forward. They're not instant solutions, and we always want something instant, and certainly after such horrible trauma.
Yeah, we do. It's a gut response. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. At 7 o'clock, we have to go to news. I'm sorry I didn't leave you more time, Rabbi Avidan Friedman. He's an Israeli activist. I love your thoughts on 061-895-1019. Good morning.